Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Coming to you live from the Mucom Auto Auction in Houston, Texas, you're listening to Dudes and Beers. Well, hello, everybody, and we are back. I am Chris Jordan, your host of Dudes and Beer. With me, as always, is the stalwart Stephen Bishop, as well as Pops Davis over here. And we are joined by a very, very special guest and Mecum bitter. Not just Mecum bitter, but Mecum winner. Like, Mecum winner in a huge way. Y'all heard us talking earlier. We have Mr. Gene Lisco with us. And y'all heard us talking earlier about our experience last year with Big Red Racing. Oh, yeah. The guys, RJ and them from Big Red, they are such a great team. They are some of the coolest guys I've ever met on broadcast.
Right.
Much less as
really
guests
cool guys,
on my
man.
Own show. And
they were so down to earth.
Well, they brought with them Big Red, which is, of course, known for its records as the world's fastest 1969 Camaro. And what they did last year was a huge thing for charity. They built a part-for-part replica of Big Red and actually auctioned it off. And we were there whenever the auction happened.
I remember that.
It was fantastic. I cannot remember what it went for, but whenever we drove in this morning, I saw, because I'd contacted RJ, I contacted all of our past guests and was like, hey, we're going to be there. If you'd like to come back and be back on, we'd love to catch up with you.
We actually interviewed RJ before the auction of the car.
Yeah, we did, yeah. And it was great to see it sold. And for me to walk in this morning and see Big Red sitting over there, I was like, oh, my God, the guys from Big Red were here. Now, to catch you up a little bit, folks, Big Red was actually destroyed in a massive, massive fire right after Mecum, I believe, is when they went to Pikes Peak, if I'm not mistaken. Go ahead and scoot on in a little bit closer, if you don't mind, Gene. It won't bite you, I promise. But, yeah, they went to Pikes Peak for trial runs, and at that point, literally, the engine compartment blew, and the whole car went up. Like, the whole thing, it was a mess of flames. They posted pictures. It was so, so sad to see this beautiful car like that. And they've just recently rebuilt it and getting ready for their first trial run. So it blew my mind to see Big Red out front this morning. I was like, whoa, did they finish it and they came here before Pikes Peak again
right,
or what?
Right.
And as I went outside, I was going to go out and find them, and I ended up finding Mr. Lisco, and he was like, oh, no, this is my car. I bought it last year. I was like, oh, my God, this is the replica. Too cool to actually have not just the guys that designed and built and drive Big Red last year, but to have the gentleman on who actually won the auction of Big Red. So tell us, because anytime you talk about it, I can just see the light in your eyes.
Yeah.
To own a car like that is absolutely amazing. What was the process like for you when you came into Mecum last year and saw Big Red, laid eyes on her for the first time? And what was it like when you started bidding?
I was all choked up. That's the most prettiest, best well-built Camaro I've ever seen in my life. I melted like butter when I seen that car. I had to have that car.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, what? You were here, of course, again this year to purchase some vehicles, to look at vehicles, things like that. You're obviously a collector. You like what you like. What was it that specifically drew you to the Camaro to begin with? Because, I mean, it's a quintessential piece of American Detroit iron, but what was it for you that first made you love the Camaro?
Well, 69, 68, and 69 was my favorite Camaro. But when I seen Big Red, I didn't see no other Camaro. I seen Big Red. The prettiest Camaro I've ever seen in my life.
It's like falling in love with the girl.
It's gorgeous. And, you know, tell us a little bit about it. What's the experience like driving it? Because it's full of nothing but custom parts. It's literally only the third engine like that to exist in the world, you know.
Well, I've outrun the Mustangs. I've outrun the Hellcat. Two or three others.
He beat the Hellcat. That's awesome.
I outrun the CTS car, Cadillac, and it was pretty wicked little car. But I've outrun pretty well everybody I've I shouldn't be saying this on TV, should I?
Oh, no,
say it. You say what you want.
That's the only way the challenge has come.
Yeah. I just got 4 or 5 tickets in the mail for $99. The camera. But the people are fantastic. They built Big Red.
Couldn't
find any better people. The car is immaculate. Anywhere you go, I don't care what vehicle's there, they look at Big Red. Oh. Everybody looks at Big Red.
It's an unmistakable, beautiful, beautiful machine.
They did a magnificent job.
Yes.
Like I said, some of the best people I ever met in my life.
Yeah.
What kind of power plant have you got?
That's got a 427 LS7 with an SLP blower on it. It'll just fly. Pretty well, I like to. It'll fly. Well,
have you had it out in the quarter?
No, sir. I've never.
You're a street racer.
Street racer.
Okay.
Gotcha. Now, 59 racer, Highway 90 racer, 99, the bypass racer, the Beltway and Cleveland racer.
The way it's supposed to be done, racer.
Right. It's an immaculate car. It's first class, good handling, good running, brakes that'll stop on a dime. It's just, words is hard to describe it. You just can't find a car to this quality.
Yeah.
They did. And it melted my heart when I seen it.
Is it all original as far as the suspension?
No, sir.
Yeah.
It's got 4-link on it.
Okay.
The gear ratio, I honestly don't know what the gear ratio is. I probably could figure it out real easy, but I'm not too good on a computer or nothing.
Yeah.
All I know is every gear, all the way 1 through 6, you're gone. You're usually passing them in fourth gear. We were getting on the freeway. We went to the memorial event, Veterans Memorial, and after it was over with, we went out to eat lunch. And when we were coming back, they just happened to be a Dodge passing. We're getting on the freeway and a Dodge passing. And then you know how the kids are. You going to let them pass you, Daddy?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't a race. There was no competition.
A red blur, and what the heck was that?
Right.
That's about it.
It's a learning experience, and it takes 20 years off of you. I'm almost 70. Maybe it took 40 years off of you, But I love the car.
Well,
it's just fantastic.
What I love about it is that it's done with old school construction.
Yes.
They're like we were saying earlier, Pop. There isn't a whole lot of overclocking on the engine. It's not like they're putting in mod chips or something like that into a new engine. Like, this is old school construction. It's just straight bore, straight power.
And I'd like to say that it's pretty damn fast too for old school.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's just it. Like it will take the Pepsi Challenge with, and they said that on the show, like we will take the Pepsi Challenge with any modern day race car in a quarter mile. Any modern day race car, bring it. Bring it. We will openly challenge you. And yeah, like the things that I've seen online from them are just, it's phenomenal. I think, I forget, what was it, like 250 or something like that? Was their land speed record?
The 259, something on 69.
Yeah.
On this one, don't hold me to this, but I think this one was clocked at 220. Someone said 220. I haven't had it up that fast. About 160. I didn't want to look like a June bug on a windshield. It's fast and it's quick.
Yeah.
It's just super quick.
Yeah.
And stop on a dime. You can't. Words is hard to express. When people see this car, they melt like butter.
Oh.
And when you tell them how good the people are, how nice they are, and it was for the veterans,
This
was a good deal. And like I said, we got to do the from Memorial Day. We were at the first of the parade, and represented Vietnam. And it was, to do this was an honor for your country. And then to have this beautiful built car in the lead with American flags, you just couldn't top it.
Brought a tear to your eye, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. That sounds awesome.
Sure.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
What has been your favorite trip that you've taken? Because, I say trip. We had a conversation on the way in, and literally it's I can perfectly understand. Like I said, you've got maybe about 1,600 miles on the thing. It came in, I think, with like 32 miles on the odometer, because literally they had to drive it and make sure it worked. You know, like they had to give it a few once arounds the block just to make sure that like the wheels stayed on before they auctioned it. But you know, you're talking like 1,500 miles in a year. Like what's been your favorite trip?
You had to take it from Houston to Cleveland. I mean, that's about to 45, but it's always a race. I mean, anytime you get on the road, somebody wants to mess with the Camaro. And what's funny, there's a Shelby the other night. We went to a boxing match, and I'm trying to mind my own business, and I'm cruising on about 80 miles an hour, and they just, you know, kept messing with me in their little Mustang, and I smoked them just like it wasn't a race. and they videoed. You know, they wanted a video, actually, that I didn't know what they wanted. And then they finally got me to slow down, and they were trying to roll the window down, hollering at me that they wanted a video. Video, I guess, the Camaro smoking the Mustang.
But it
wasn't no competition. No competition whatsoever. But it's a thrill. I don't go no further than, like I say, Houston in it.
Sure.
And I have to park it in the boondocks, and I have to park it with the cameras and everybody watching it. You know, I don't want it scratched or beat up or anything.
Yeah.
But every time somebody pulls up beside you, you got to catch a gear. It's just something about that Camaro. You have to catch a gear.
Yeah.
And then it's all over. It's not a race. But it's fun. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
They built a beautiful car. They put a lot of heart in this car.
They did. They did. They put, and it's obvious that just with Big Red themselves, the two of them, it's such a passion work for them. It's such they live it, they breathe it. That it's what they're all about, and you could tell that in the replica, because it was at, like last year they had Big Red here and they had the replica. They were side by side, so you could see like this is the car that races, and this is the one that you're bidding on. And yeah, it was spit and image the whole way. It was absolutely amazing. And to what was the process like for you to win that? Like for Frank Meekum to come up, because he was probably one of them that I saw with you that was devil in your ear. You know, that man is involved with it, and he is right there, and he is coaching you. What's it like to have them coaching you with that kind of stuff?
Well, I wasn't expecting to buy it, to be honest with you.
Really?
Did I want to buy it? Yeah, but not. I mean, I figured the car was 150,000, 200,000 in my mind, you know?
Right.
And I'm just sitting there daydreaming, talking with my son, and we were in love with the car, but I didn't think there was any way I'd buy it. Gas Monkey and a bunch of other people was there, and I figured
they'd blow me
out of the saddle.
Right.
And when he said going once, going twice, and I'm steady talking to the guy, and he said, "You bought it." I think they cut it off. I don't know what all I said at the time. I was devastated, shocked. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe I could afford the car.
Yeah.
Not that particular car, anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It's one of those, like, I'll throw my hand up. Oh my God, are you serious right now?
Did I just buy that? Did I just
Where's all the bidders? I'm looking around saying, well, hey, high rollers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This car, it's just immaculate. I mean, it's just anywhere you go, you know, I can't even get bugs on it. I have to clean it. Today when we go back, I mean, I do this because I love this car.
You know what my favorite part about you winning this car is, Mr. Lisco, is the fact that there is no gold on your badge.
Yeah.
You are not, and that's just
not
it,
even
folks.
A gold bidder.
This man had the Meekum experience without being a gold bidder.
And weren't we just talking about that earlier?
You know, like the Meekum experience is for everybody. And it's amazing that, like, you know, you think the gold bidders are going to be the ones that land the huge cars like that, are going to be the ones that get the big ones and land the big fish. But, man, it was like through the hoop from across the court without even looking.
It just, words can't express how good, Meekum is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care what anybody
says.
We're
very gracious for them.
Yeah, you can't beat Meekum.
Yeah.
And to buy that Camaro, and I bought the Camaro, And I also bought the 57 Chevy convertible right after the Camaro.
You did?
Oh, wow, okay.
And there was no comparison now. I'm a 57 Chevy man, but you see, I bought the Camaro.
It's a little bit hard to turn the key in that 57 when you have the Camaro, right?
That 57 6 Camaro is one I drive.
That's it.
That's
well,
real nice.
Mr. Lisko, I know I caught you as you were literally leaving property. You were getting ready to head back to Richmond, and that's quite a drive. I cannot thank you enough for coming and being on the show.
We sure do appreciate it.
I've got your information. I would love to contact you when we do have Big Red on, because I'm sure that they would love to actually talk to the person a year or so later that purchased their fantastic car and hear about how much he's loving it.
Yeah.
You know, so I will definitely be in touch. Thank you so, so much for coming and being on.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you so much.
Pop,
nice to have met you.
I'm
going to dismiss Pop. Because if you don't mind, I really want him to go check out your car.
Okay.
Because he's going to freak out when he sees that thing, man.
I'd be honored to show it to him.
Absolutely. Thank you so much again for coming and being on the show, Mr. Lisko. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. We actually do have another guest here.
Okay.
We have
Grania
from... kid from Curing Kids Cancer. If you'd like to hop on over there in the guest chair, Grania.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have a seat there, Randy.
Yeah.
So, how are you doing today?
I'm doing extremely well, thank you.
Fantastic. Well, our PR person was great enough to go out and find you to tell us a little bit about, because Meekum and the Meekum family are great with working with charities like Mr. Mr. Lisko was just saying the car that he purchased was built for a charity last year and auctioned off. And you guys actually work with Meekum.
Yes.
At their auctions. Tell us a little bit about what you're about and why y'all teamed up with the Meekum Auto Auction.
Okay. Well, I actually founded the charity back in 2005. One of my twin boys was diagnosed with leukemia when he was 5 years old. And when he was 9 and a half, we lost him.
Oh, no.
And there was a medicine that actually might have saved his life when he was very sick, but the doctors tested it on his cells and knew it probably would have helped, but they didn't have the money to get it out of the lab and into treatment. So after we lost him, I decided I couldn't know about that and let it happen to other families. And
sure.
So I decided to start raising money to get drugs like that into treatment for the kids when they needed them. And back about 3.5 years ago, I went and talked to Dana. We had been here at an auction where somebody had donated a motorcycle to us, so I knew how it worked, and I saw the money that was flying around here.
Sure, absolutely.
And I was like, oh, that would be awfully nice to get some of that on a regular basis. So
sure.
I managed to go talk to Dana and Patty, his wife, and they have 4 boys, and I have 4 boys, and I explained that, you know, why I was trying to raise money, and they like the fact that we're a very small organization, so we try and keep our overheads to an absolute minimum so that all the money that possibly can goes to research. And I asked him if he would partner with us, and so he agreed to do it, and ever since then we've been the Meekum Auction charity officially.
Wow, that's great.
And we've raised they've helped us raise through their customers over $3 million.
Oh, that's amazing.
Fantastic. That is phenomenal.
Yeah, very exciting. So we're just blown away by the fact that an organization like this, which is so huge, actually adopted a tiny little charity like ours. And when I say adopted, I mean they make us feel like part of the family.
Oh yeah,
right,
no,
right.
I mean we get the same kind of treatment.
Say the same thing.
They ask us all
that's
the time, like, hey,
are you
coming to Vegas? Like stuff like that. And it's like, oh my God, I wish I could go to Vegas right now. I'd really like to come to Vegas. But yeah, whenever they see something like that, they're utterly about supporting small things, about supporting things that matter, that mean something.
Yes. Absolutely.
And it's great. And I think a large part of that does come, like you were saying, from the fact that it's a family-owned business to begin with. It's a family tradition, and they keep that up, and they make sure to
actively put that out there. Now, what kind of events do you do outside of Miku? What other things do y'all do to help raise money and awareness?
We have some really fun stuff that we do. Actually, today in South Carolina, we had a fire truck pull where teams of 10 people pulling in honor of or in memory of one of our children over there. So they were each pulling for a different child. One of them actually pulled on behalf of our son, which was really sweet. And they tried to pull a fire truck using a rope over a distance of about 50 feet, and the team that pulls it over that distance the fastest time wins.
Nice.
But the fire department nearly always wins that way.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure they're all right with pulling a fire truck.
That sounds really interesting.
But we have sponsors and entrance fees and all that kind of stuff, so that raises a good amount of money for us over there. And then we've actually got a really big golf tournament that we do with AT&T in Atlanta. And last year that raised almost $400,000 for us, so that's a big deal.
It's great.
And Lee Corso from ESPN's College Game Day is our chairman. And actually this year he's been our chairman for 10 years, so we're having a big event at the College Football Hall of Fame in August, right before football season. And we're honoring Lee for his work with us. So hopefully some of the other Game Day crew are going to come to that. And then September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, which nobody knows. So let me say that again. September is National Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. And so what we do is we work with college football teams. And we've got, between the SEC and the ACC, we had 12 teams last year wear our helmet stickers and wristbands. And then the coaches wore lanyards and gold whistles, because gold is the color for childhood cancer. So, so we have a wide variety of different things that we do.
Yeah, you have plenty of outreach going on to the community and awareness being made. And, you know, I guess, how many children do y'all normally get to help per year? I know people love hearing that.
That's really impossible to quantify. But I can tell you that, like, last year we donated over $1 million in funding.
Wow.
And we funded 17 different projects, including one in Canada. And there's one particular type of treatment that is revolutionizing the way that cancer is being treated right now, and it's called CAR T-cell therapy, where it's been developed initially for leukemia, and they take the child's own T-cells, which normally fight colds and things. They genetically re-engineer them using a virus, and they put them back into the child so that the T-cells recognize the cancer cells, and they don't need chemo or radiation because their own immune system then fights the cancer. And it's experimental, so they've been giving it to children who are on hospice care, and they've had a 94% success rate.
Wow, that is fantastic.
That's a huge percentage.
And there have been so many advances in cancer research and things like that over the last few years. It's been absolutely phenomenal. I know that there was the one person, I want to say, that was completely cured of leukemia in California with, like, a full bone marrow transplant. Like, it's phenomenal, some of the things that are coming out, but also kind of horrifying, some of the things that we aren't allowed to research and take care of. And like you said, be able to get the knowledge out there to people and at least raise awareness and let people know that this is an issue, too. We hear so much about breast cancer. We hear so much about, I mean, not that any cancer is not a horrifying, horrible thing.
Right.
But we do forget so often that this affects people that don't necessarily have that adult wherewithal. They don't necessarily have that adult capacity to fully understand what's going on with them.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing, is like the funding for pediatric cancer is absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I know. It's
horrific. You know, the government only gives 4% of what it gives to cancer in total to pediatrics. And the drug companies generally don't fund new drugs for childhood cancer because they don't get enough return on their investment.
Right. Yeah.
So they literally rely on little organizations like ours. I mean, luckily, we've raised over $9 million over you know, the period of time that we've been going. But, you know, they literally, the hospitals, do not even get enough money from the government to fund traditional chemotherapy treatment, let alone research.
Wow.
So, you know, what we do is essential. Yeah. And the fact that, you know, Mecum has supported us so wholeheartedly, it's their customers. I mean, it's the people that buy the cars are also supporting what we do, which is terrific. Right. Very exciting. And it's, like you say, it's an extremely exciting time to be able to fund research right now, because the technology and the biology and the genetics have finally all come together at a point where they can really, you know, create new therapies that actually do fight the cancer. So, you know, very exciting.
Yeah. Now, tell everybody where they can go to learn more about curing kids' cancer. Where they can go to find out about your latest events coming up, where they can go to get any literature or make a donation.
Yeah, how do
they get it? All right, well, it's curingkidscancer.org, and that's our website, but we're also on Facebook as Curing Kids Cancer, and on Twitter we're at Curing Cancer.
Okay.
So, yeah, okay. Go look us up.
Absolutely.
Absolutely,
most definitely. We are in the midst of that right now, as a matter of fact. And I guess I like to kind of personalize things. What for you, since your involvement with this charity, has been, A, your proudest moment, and B, what's been your favorite event that you have been a part of putting on? Because I, as someone who puts on events, I have my favorites here and there.
Right.
I have my annual gigs that I love, that I look forward to every year, because it's the same crew, it's the same clients, it's the same people.
Yeah.
You know, we all have those little insider things. What are the answers to those two questions for you?
Okay, well, I think one of the most amazing moments that I've had is when I was calling Dr. Grupp in Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, which is where they developed CAR T-cell therapy for children. And I was calling to tell him that I had put a check for $100,000 in the mail to support his work. And he didn't know that. But when I called him, he said, you know, oh, I'm glad you called, because we're having a bit of trouble with our funding right now. And I said, well, what's the problem? And he said, well, we've got four children who didn't respond to the first type of therapy, but we can adapt it so that we know that they will respond to it, but we haven't got the money for these four kids. And I said, okay, so, well, how much does it cost per child? And he said $25,000.
Wow.
So
wow.
I get goosebumps still just thinking
that's
about
awesome.
That.
Yeah.
And I said to him, well, I've just put a check for $100,000 in the mail. And he said, oh, my gosh, that's a miracle.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's probably one of my most special moments to be able to do that.
No synchronicity there whatsoever. That is absolutely amazing.
So to know that we were actually going to potentially save the lives of those four kids was amazing.
Yeah.
As far as events go, I guess I'd have to say our golf tournament is probably that and our gala that we're going to do with Lee. But the golf tournament we've been doing, this is our 13th year. And AT&T has been a tremendous supporter of that. But we get people coming back. We've had people who have supported us from year one. And it's just like seeing old friends again. You know, we see them once a year. But when we do, we have a fantastic time. And they're extremely generous. And it's, you know, everybody loves it because they're having fun, but it's for a good cause as well.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it. You know, you have to remember that any of this, whether it's cars, working in the nonprofit realm, it's about living life via passions. And if
absolutely,
I mean, for me, you could go take a job anywhere, but to take a job doing what you do, especially with your personal story and your personal experience, that is absolutely doing what you feel called to do.
Oh yeah, I mean, I started doing it on my kitchen table.
Yeah.
I'd stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning.
And what has that journey been like for you? Like starting it, because I'm someone who self-employed, everything else. I started my business and was at my kitchen table for a long time before I had a studio in the back. But what was that like for you? Making those first steps, getting things going.
Because it was hard.
I like sharing that story with people, because not everybody follows through with that. They have an idea, they have a thought that maybe I can do something, mm-hmm. but then for some reason they don't believe in themselves, and it kind of wanes off, and they never follow through with it. And you're someone who actively followed through with it, and made it happen, and is doing great things the world over with it. What was it that kept you going and made you start really pursuing this full time?
It was probably three things. First of all, I'm probably going to cry.
It's okay.
My little boy, the one thing that he couldn't stand was when I got upset, and here I am getting upset. But anyway, so I knew that I had to do something positive, because I knew that he wouldn't like it if I was upset and depressed and angry. And so I had to turn that energy into something positive. And so that really drove me initially. Plus, I think the fact that we've been able to make such a difference, and, you know, having been there as a parent, you can't help yourself initially because you're so busy just looking after your child. Yeah. So I knew that, you know, there were going to be a certain number of people out there relying on what I was doing. And I think the third thing is, like, we've had such a series of what I call godcidences. I don't believe in coincidences. I call them godcidences, where things like that incident with Dr. Grupp, those things happen to us all the time. And in fact, we've had so many of those things happen that we're thinking about writing a book about it.
You should.
Yeah.
You should. Absolutely.
So, but that, you know, every time I feel like it would be so much easier to just walk away, which it would, something like that happens. And I think, oh my gosh, I am meant to be doing this. And, you know, you just get tremendous encouragement when stuff like that happens. So.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it's when those moments present themselves in life, you really do have to kind of pay attention to the little tug in your belly button and follow it.
Yeah,
go with it. Because when you're going down the wrong path, when you're doing what you're not supposed to be doing, life will throw the hurdles in your way. You just have to be present and mind enough to realize I'm tripping over a lot of hurdles.
Yeah.
When there's a perfectly open path right here next to me. And that's really the one you're supposed to be on. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your beautiful personal story, your story of success with curing kids' cancer. Let everybody know when and where your next event is.
Okay,
before
so,
we go.
Well, our next event is going to be our golf tournament, which is at the Atlanta National Golf Course in Atlanta. And we're having a big dinner hosted by AT&T the night before the golf tournament on April 30th, and then we are having the actual tournament on May 1st.
Great.
So, yeah,
great.
And then August 11th is the next big one with Lee Corso at the College Football Hall of Fame. And just go to our website, Facebook page, and you'll get details
and
on
that. And our page too.
Oh, good. Yes, great. That would be great. Thank
Fantastic.
You.
Fantastic. Absolutely.
Oh, one thing.
What's that?
Seeing as you're called Dudes and Beer.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to donate some beer for our golf tournament, we're open to donations. So
okay.
If people can't donate money but can donate beer or wine or whatever it may be, then, you know, you can help us out that way too.
Yeah, right. Any little thing helps, right?
We can definitely try and get you in touch with a few breweries or something like that locally.
That would be great. That would be great.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay. Fantastic.
Well, all right.
Thank
well,
you
thank
so
you.
Much once again, Rania, for coming on the show, talking about your fantastic, fantastic charity, everything that you guys are doing to help battle and fight and bring awareness to the battle of children's cancer globally, and mm-hmm. what we can do ourselves to help alleviate some of that, and to help be a part of it. So thank you so much for coming and sharing all of that with
well,
us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for giving me the chance to share it.
Absolutely.
You know, raising awareness of what we do is an essential part of it.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. We'll be in touch. We'll send you a link to the interview and everything so you can put it out on all your media and everything.
Great.
Else.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day and enjoy the rest of Mecum.
Thanks.
Safe travels.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that is exactly what we're about on this show. I can't even express it enough what we're all completely about, because it is about living life passionately. It is about doing what you love to do. It is about making those tracks and making it happen and making your own waves in the pond of life, sincerely.
You know, every guest we've had today has just been awesome. Just great people, you know?
Yeah.
You know, all at one place.
Well, and it's like Pops was saying, you know, you find a lot of like-minded people at things like this, and a lot of people that are into this, they're into
really
cars.
Loud in here right now.
What's that?
It's so loud in here right now.
Oh, yeah, no, it gets, yeah, like, you should have been here the last couple years where all of this was open.
Oh, God.
It was yeah. Rabble all day long. It was crazy. But, I mean, even now as we sit, there is a Corvette Callaway, one of my, probably my hands-down favorite Corvette.
I love me
a Callaway.
Like you, one of them.
Oh, they're
that is
they're
a pretty
nice.
Damn car, actually.
Oh, it's one of the most powerful cars you can get.
Yeah.
But you know, going through all this, seeing all of this, experiencing all of this, just reminds me so much about what we're all about and about changing our lives, changing the way that we think, the way that we feel about everything. Thank you. With actually actively thinking about what it is that we can do. And not just for ourselves, but finding out what it is that we can do for the person next to us.
Right.
You know, what it is that we can do for the person across the restaurant. And, you know, that's living life through passion. That's having a passion to change things around you, to change people, to make the world a better place. And whenever you're considering that, whenever you're looking at that, you really do have to look at things from a multifaceted aspect. You can't just do it from one point of view.
Right.
And that's why I like talking with all of these different people. That's why I like talking with, you know, someone who has won a bid at Meekum and made their dream come true. Someone who, like Sean, has come to Meekum with his car club and made his dream come true, who we'll be talking to in a little while. Someone like Grania, who just left the show, that literally took a tragedy in her
right.
life and turned it into a beautiful experience
right.
for thousands of other people.
Right.
To help change the
world.
She
overcame those hurdles in her life by knowing what she had to do, and she changed that negative to a positive. You know?
Yeah, and I think so much of it. There's a nice picture of Big Red that Pops just brought back.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That thing's a beast, ain't it?
That's pretty beautiful, and it's got the gold detailing like this one likes.
Yeah, I do like that. It's got to be just the right amount of gold, though. It can't be too blingy.
Damn, that's a beautiful car, man.
So, yeah. Anything else that you guys want to add? While we were on break, how was y'all's break? When did y'all get to go out and see, guys? We came back from break with like two immediate guests. So.
I know, it was crazy. I saw a Lamborghini.
Dice.
Yeah, that's all I did, literally. I saw the Lamborghini. I came back and I lined up some guests. So that was
okay.
My big story.
Yeah, we went to the auction floor, saw a bunch of, can you hear me?
Yeah,
went to the auction floor, saw some stuff getting bought.
Did you get some live?
I got a couple of pictures. The camera on my phone is not all that great, so it's
a little rough.
It doesn't zoom in very well.
Ah, that's okay.
But I tell you what, man, they've got it decked out in there. That's
oh no, yeah. that's
oh,
what I'm
yeah.
saying.
That's
it's
world class.
It's
man.
Not. A, yeah.
yeah.
No, it is. What you have to remember, what you're looking at is a television set.
Sure.
Like, that is a mobile television set. Everything is live to video, live to broadcast. Where there's us out here for 5 hours, there is John Kramen in there reckoning on a microphone for 5 hours, literally knowing every stitch of information about every one of these cars that rolls across the block, like in detail. Not just that, not only is he their head auctioneer, but he's also he is their conservatory director. He actively goes out and, or consignments director, he actively goes out and finds these collections with the Meekum family.
Nice. Look at that Mercedes over there.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
It's a nice Mercedes.
I'm liking the Shelby that's in front of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big Shelby fan.
That's gorgeous.
I'm about to let Mario, one of the employees here at Meekum, spin the wheel because he was our winner.
Oh, hot dog. Well, yeah, let's let Julie go over there with Mario and spin the wheel of fate.
Mario.
To see what Mario gets.
Mario.
I think he's looking for a 5 minute. He's looking for a 5 minute action. Lifetime alcohol. Dude, if that's up there, I'm spinning the wheel.
Yeah, yeah.
I took that one for myself. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, there he goes. Come on, big money. No whammies for Mario here. Come on, Mario. Oh, he wins a sticker. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Woo! Go,
yeah.
Mario.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mario with the swag. All right. I love it. People are enjoying the prize wheel. They're coming up. They're registering. If you want to win a prize and you're here at Meekum, please make sure to stop off by the booth. Same as Julie Connolly, our nice PR rep. She will get you set up. All you have to do is show her that you have liked the Dudes and Beer Facebook page. And then at that point, you will be given a ticket. And every hour we draw a ticket. And if you're here, you get to... you get to spin the wheel of fate and see what the gods have given you from the Dudes in Beer. Mario won a sticker. Was it Matt? Nope.
Michael.
Michael Wason won earlier. So, you know, we've had quite a few. We had Liam who won earlier. Quite a few that have won their prizes from Dudes and Beer today.
We'll have one more chance, right, before we leave?
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, most definitely. We'll have one more chance for a big one. We may be doing, like, two drawings at the end there.
That'd be
dope. Just to get crazy with it, The winner of the second drawing wins a 20-minute piggyback ride from Pops. He's gonna give you an old school tour of Meekum and regale you with stories of his youth in automobiles. That's the final prize.
Get to watch him get goosebumps when the pretty cars come by.
Pops did not know about this when he came down from...
either that or I'd give him $5 to go away.
Yeah, yeah. It's your choice.
It's your choice.
It's your choice. I'm sticking with the piggyback ride. I got $5. I got a Lincoln in my pocket. But... we've been having a great old time here. We absolutely love it. We love coming out to Meekum. If you'd like to take part in the fun and games, on Tuesday night at our 100th episode, up live from Hops and Grain. It's a bang-up weekend with us. Two live remotes in one weekend, within days of each other. But if you want to take part in the online scavenger hunt, we will be having an online scavenger hunt on Tuesday the 11th. We'll be giving out the clues and everything to you, so you can find stuff, and you can even win at home, even though you are far, far away from the live event. You can still win prizes.
But you should come to the live events, because it'll be way more
It's
going to
be entirely awesome. We got music by DJ Cinco, music by Confucius Jones. We're going to have a DJ battle at the end. We've got scavenger hunt on location. We've got an online scavenger hunt.
It's going to be sick, dude.
We've got a rock paper scissors bracket that we're rocking. It's gonna be off the chain. Oh, we're gonna be interviewing some brewers. We're gonna be interviewing like people from Hops and Grain. We're gonna have past guests.
Past guests.
I'm really excited about that. My dad's gonna be
there. Her dad's coming from Massachusetts to come be a part
of it. Now you know it's a good
party. So any of you that are here in Houston that are driving 2 hours for it on Tuesday, you're a wuss. I'm calling you. This dude's flying. He's never even met me. I don't even know that he's even heard my show, but he's flying in from Boston for my show.
I don't think that he quite knows what a podcast
is. That's strong, man. That's strong. He must really love you. He must really love you.
He loves me. He loves what I'm about. And I love what he's about.
Right.
That's
beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So
I wish you had more people in your life who loved you that much.
I know, right?
I do. I have a great brother. He's fantastic. He talks a lot of smack. But he's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
He's
I keep him around.
Taka.
And as we get ready to go out to break here talking smack, don't forget to play all these games, to be part of all this, please make sure to go by, like the Dudes and Beer Facebook page. It's real simple. Facebook.com/ Dudes and Beer. You can also make sure to go to curingkidscancer.org. Make sure that Grania hears from you. Make sure that you take care of people like that. Help make the world a better place by doing what you can do. Even a little bit helps. Even volunteering time. Believe it or not, volunteering time can be one of the most important things beyond giving money.
Right.
If you can give an hour a week, man.
A
week, a case of beer. Donate a case of beer. I don't even know that they're necessarily looking for all the beers to be the same. You could probably donate 85 six-packs of different beer if you want. And I'm sure that they would be happy with that. If that's the case, send 3 of them to Dudes and Beer that we can make sure to test them and make sure that they're right to be going to these
sure
people.
The quality.
That's it. That's right. You got to make sure of that, folks. So while you're doing that, make sure to also hop online, download the Dudes and Beer app from the iTunes Store, from the Google Play Store. You can also go and visit the Dudes and Beer store on dudesandbeer.com and buy all your brewing and distilling needs, books, instructionals, full kits, car box, kegs, mini kegs, carbolating equipment, everything. So on that note, everybody, we're going to hit up the music loop for the next little bit. Go out and check out some of this and come back for the last part of our live coverage. Live from the Mikamoto Auction,
live
right here in Houston, Texas.
In your face.
Thank you so much for joining us. We will be back here in a few minutes. And, take care of yourselves, everybody. Drive safe. If you leave in Mikam right now, be careful. The cops are going to be out. So on that note, everybody, keep tuned in. Stay tuned in. We'll be back here in about 20, 30 minutes.
Stay tuned for more live coverage from the auction floor, as well as interviews direct from the Mikamoto Auction in Houston, Texas, right here on the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams and chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for both Android and iOS devices, available on the Google Play and iTunes markets. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the Revolution Digital Group family of podcasts. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.